This message has kind of been rolling around inside of my heart for a while, and it all started out a few months ago. My daughter, who was 4 at the time, we'd put her to bed, and she came in, and she was scared. And you guys know the routine. Most of the time, those things are not true. But for her to say she was scared isn't totally usual. Usually, it's more like, you know, I need to know why wolves have sharp teeth. Or she woke me up Saturday morning because she needed to know if Earth was the only planet people lived on. You know, usually it's that. So when she said she was scared, I was kind of like, oh, really? What's bothering you? And she was kind of trembling and she said, I just feel scared all over, and it's the dark, and everything just seems scary tonight. So I decided to kind of take the spiritual route with her, and I said, you know, you don't have to be afraid. God is with you. You have prayed, and you've asked Jesus to live inside of you, and you know that when you pray, he's right here. God is everywhere, so God is even in your room. So if you're scared, you just need to pray and remember that God's with you. And about that time, her older brother came in. He was 8, and he starts patting her on the back and just loving on her and saying, yeah, sissy, you don't have to be scared. God is there. God is everywhere. God is with you. And I was just like, oh, my goodness. You know those, like, brief shining moments of parenthood where everything's just coming together. And I'm like, this is my moment. All these lessons I've taught them about God have sunk in. And look how he's loving his sister and sticking up for her. And we're having this beautiful time. And then he says, you know, sis, probably for you, you're just going to be lucky enough to get like God's crusty big toe in your room. Some people might get his face or his heart or his hand. I can't really imagine that he'd do that for you, but, you know, you probably just have his crusty big toe in your room, and hey, God's old big toe is better than nothing, right? Well, then she starts to cry because she doesn't want a crusty big toe in her room, and then I catch myself saying, God's toe's not crusty, and I'm like, what am I saying? It's over. It's over. But I was telling Chad about it a few days later, and we were kind of laughing. And then a thought kind of came to me that I couldn't shake, and it was just that some people, actually a lot of people, probably feel that way about themselves sometimes. There are a lot of people who might wonder if they could really get more from God than just the leftovers, that maybe they don't deserve the parts of God that everybody else, you know, might deserve. And we've been doing the God of Miracles. And for a few weeks, we've been talking about the fact that God can. But I know that there are several of us who also struggle with the question of if God will. Will God do this miracle? And more specifically, would he do it for me? Sometimes we get caught up in thinking that God and his love and his power are tied to our performance, that the better that we are and the more of a spiritual giant that we are and the more that we earn it, then that's the more of God's love and God's power that we would get. And, you know, if we're not right where we want to be, then maybe somebody else would get lucky enough to know the heart of God or know the mind of God. But us, we're just going to, you know, we're just scraping by. We'll just take the leftovers. And God really drove this point home to me. It was several years ago. I don't think we even had our daughter yet. And I hurt my back. I don't even know what I did, but it hurt really bad. And it's never hurt before then, and it had never really hurt since, not in this way. But for those of you who deal with that, I feel for you, because there was no relief, like not when you sit, not when you stand, not when you lay down. It was just all the time. And so I tried for several weeks, you know, different things, the chiropractor several times and going to get a massage and doing the stretches, and nothing was helping. And it really hurt. And so I finally told Chad, I said, okay, here's the deal. If this is not, you know, it's not getting better, next week I'm just going to bite the bullet. I'm going to the doctor. Whatever they want to do, we're going to do, because I can't stand it. And it just so happened that weekend we had a special speaker coming to church. And he had seen a lot of healings in his ministry. He'd seen a lot of answered prayer. So I was kind of excited about that. I thought, maybe this is my moment. But I was sitting right there, and when he got up to speak, I'm just going to be really honest with you guys, I was just not a fan. I just wasn't. And that's okay. Not everybody is going to like everyone. I mean, that's impossible, right? We've had people that I loved this guy, I just wasn't a fan. Usually, when that happens, then I'm mature enough to say, hey, you know what? Everybody that comes through here is preaching the Bible, and the Bible is good. So you take good from everybody, and if there's something that you don't like, then that's, you know, you just walk away with, you know, take the good. Be mature. And usually it's no big deal. But I don't know what the deal was on this day. I just wasn't in a very mature state of mind. And I might blame the blinding pain. I don't know. But as he's speaking, I'm just thinking to myself, kind of like, this guy, you know, come on, let's roll it out. And at the end, he says his prayer, and he says, you know, I'm not going to call you up. I'm just going to kind of pray for everybody. And I'm thinking, la-di-da, you know, get through with it, buddy. He says, amen. I do kind of a mental eye roll. And I turn around to get my stuff off of the pew, and my back went crack, 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 crack. The thing that we'd been trying to get it to do for weeks. And I sat there for a second, and then all of a sudden the pain was gone. And I'm just kind of thinking, like, did what I think just happened just happen? And God spoke to me that morning. And I don't say that, you know, a whole lot, like, who I, you know, but God spoke to me. It was an overwhelming thought. It was a heavy thought, and it was very clear. And God said, I just healed you in spite of yourself. And that was a really big moment for me, because on the one hand, I'm just like, God in his infinite love and mercy just touched me. And I sense his presence, and you're just kind of like, ah. And then on the other hand, it was like really humbling. Because when I was being a total brat, God still cared enough to do for me what I needed him to do. And it was a big moment, because there were a lot of ideas that up until that point I hadn't even really verbalized, but I kind of was carrying around the thought that if I wasn't like this spiritual giant at that certain point in time, and I wasn't doing everything exactly perfectly right, and I wasn't earning God's love, that somehow, you know, he'd probably just send those answered prayers and those miracles on to somebody better than me. And that morning he taught me that he does his work not because of how good I am, but how good he is. That's why he does these things for us. And don't get me wrong, this morning I'm going to talk about this, and I don't want it to be like, hey, Courtney gave out a free pass to everyone to just act how you want. God loves you anyway. I believe that prayer matters and fasting matters, and the more we put into it, the better. I've read in the Bible that when the people pray, you know, God relented. When people prayed, God's hand began to move. I've seen in my own life the power of prayer when there are situations that I'm looking at and I'm thinking, there's no way these are ever going to fit. And we begin to pray, and suddenly everything just gels together. I remember when we first got married and he got a youth pastor job, and I needed a job that would allow me to minister with him but also give me some money. And I remember beginning to pray, and these jobs just start coming my way, just handed to me. They're looking for me. People way more qualified were out there. But prayer began to move the hand of God in our life. Prayer matters. But what I'm talking about today is the group of people who say, I'm not exactly where I want to be with God. I know I've made mistakes and I'm still on that journey. But I still need a touch from God in my life. I still need God to do something for me. And I haven't even really bothered to reach out because I'm not sure if God would. And I also learned that morning that God can use whoever he wants to work. That guy that morning, not my fave. Did God use him in my life? Absolutely. He can use whoever he wants. And then the other thing that he kind of showed me that morning was that sometimes I had been thinking that things had to happen in a certain way for a miracle or an answer to come. So I would be praying, and then I would come to church, and then I would come down front, and people would pray for me, and that's when the miracle would happen. And I saw that it didn't have to be that way. And there are two times in my life when I can tell you that God touched me. One time was after almost a year of praying, almost a year of waiting. And I didn't lose faith that whole time. I really firmly believed that the answers I was getting were not the final answers and that God was going to touch me, but it took a year. And then the other time was this one I just told you about. And both times I kind of had questions from those things because it was like I was so grateful and so thankful. But then, you know, I couldn't resist coming back and saying, so if you were going to heal me, why did it have to take a year? Wouldn't it have been nice if it had just happened the first time that I prayed? You know, wouldn't that be nice? And then this time, you know, I was confused because in the Bible we see the very clear pattern that people have great faith and God heals them and the faith matters. And yet there I was just kind of being a little jerk and he did it anyway. And I began to learn that God cannot and will not be boxed in by the parameters and the rules that I would like to put around him. As much as he gives us patterns in the Bible, there are also exceptions because God can do what he wants. And I would love, I don't know about you guys, in my humanity, for God to give me a very specific formula and say, if you will do this, this, and this, your prayers will be answered. But it doesn't always happen that way because it takes faith. And God obviously cannot and should not be completely comprehended by us. And we're not always going to understand everything. But if you'll look in 2 Kings 5 with me, it tells a really interesting story about a man named Naaman. He was powerful and he was successful, army guy. He'd seen a lot of great things happen, had everything going for him except he had leprosy and it didn't have a cure. So here's a really powerful guy, but he has a need. And he had heard that the God of Israel could heal him. So he's like, oh, this God heals? Great, I'm on my way. So he gathers up his money and his best clothes and his little entourage, and they head out to find this God of Israel who could heal him. And when he reaches the prophet Elisha's house, because he's the one who was praying for people, Elisha says, yes, God will heal you. Here's what you need to do. I want you to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times, and then God will heal you. You will be healed. The leprosy will be gone. And that is not what he was expecting to have happen at all. And look at 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 11. It says, but Naaman went away angry and said, well, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of leprosy. You see, he already had this whole idea of how it was going to go down. Does anybody else ever do that? Like, you're going to go do something, yeah, and you're like, you have this whole idea in your head of how it's all going to happen, and then usually it never does. Well, that's what he had pictured. He had pictured all of this, and then it wasn't happening how he had expected it to happen. First of all, he was thinking, well, it was probably more going to be about the prophet and then God, and that it was just going to be like this big showy thing. And he didn't want it to be a process. He wanted it to be immediate. I wanted him just to wave his hand and it would be done. And that's how it would happen. And then he was confused. He couldn't comprehend or understand because the Jordan was muddy and it was gross. And he's like, I've got rivers at home that people actually come to see. So why would I go do this? This isn't making any sense. But it wasn't about the prophet and it wasn't about the showiness and it wasn't about the water. It was about God. And miracles, answers to prayer, they don't always come like we expect them to. You know, when the Israelites were in the desert and they needed the food, Jesus sent it, but he sent it every day. They had to go out over and over and over. It wasn't so that they could just be self-sufficient and say, now we're good. It was teaching them to rely on God daily, that they would go out this day for their daily bread. And when we're relying on God, we're continually believing in him for more and more. And Naaman had to step out. He had to obey what he was told. After we've prayed for something and we believed over it, there's always this moment when we have to take a step of faith. And a lot of times we don't want to do that. We want to wait for God to go first. And when the Israelites, they had to get to their promised land, they had a river that they had to cross. No big deal. God had parted waters for them before. But you see, that time the water didn't part until they'd already stepped in and gotten their toes wet. And a lot of us will say, God, why didn't you ever part that river? I don't know why you never parted that river. I'm still standing over here waiting on you. And he's like, I'm waiting on you to take that first step. I'm waiting on you to get your feet wet. I'm waiting on you. Take the step. Act like you really believe that I'm going to answer the prayers that you prayed. And the servants come to Naaman and they're like, dude, if he'd asked you to do some big showy thing, you are all ready to do it. So just go get in the river like he said. Just go do it. This isn't a hard thing. And he did it, and God healed him. And he just had a little bit of faith, not necessarily the right attitude at the time, and God worked in his life. There are a lot of times in the Bible that God reminds us that he uses imperfect people for his work. And he'd have to. We all are. But today in Junction K5, your children are learning about Gideon, because we're getting ready for Superhero Sunday. And we're learning how God used him to be a hero. When we meet him, his life is marked by fear and isolation. He's fighting a mental battle. Some people fight mental battles that are every bit as real as the physical battle, and that's what Gideon was fighting. That's what his life is marked by, and God comes and says, you know what? I'm going to take that fear, and I'm going to make you brave if you'll just step out in faith. And we see how he saved his people. We know the story of Moses, who had the speech impediment, and he didn't want to talk in front of people, and God's like, all right, cool, so I'm going to need you to go talk to a king and lead a nation. And Moses obeyed, and God used him. We know David had his problems, right? We know the affair and the murder, and he had some pride issues, but each time he came back to God, each time he repented, and he ends up being called the man after God's own heart after all of that. Of the 10 lepers that Jesus healed, only one had a heart thankful enough to come back and talk to him about it and praise him, but yet he healed all of them, didn't he? He touched all of them. When Jesus went to the man who was paralyzed and said, do you want to be made well? He really just gave Jesus a bunch of excuses. And Jesus still touched him. And then there was the woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years. 12 years of being sick. 12 years of trying everything that she knew. Complete desperation. Can you imagine how she probably felt? Like she'd let everybody down around her. It wasn't her fault, but it's hard not to feel that way when things aren't going well for you. And she is considered unclean, and she's not supposed to be going out and, you know, getting in these crowds with these other people. They don't want to touch her. What right did she have that day to reach out and touch Jesus Christ? And she did it anyway. And did he turn around and say, who do you think you are? Absolutely not. He touched her, and he healed her. When I look at the Bible, I see that it really reads like a promise for the desperate. Jesus' statement is, I came for the sick. I didn't come for the people who had it all together. I came for the sick. I'm here for the weak who just won't give up. And I want to be their strength. And he tells the story to his disciples of the persistent widow who could not get justice for herself. And so she goes to the judge and she knocks on his door and he's too busy. And she goes the next day and she knocks on his door and he doesn't want to mess with it. And she keeps on and she keeps on and she keeps on until finally he says, just do what she wants. And it says Jesus told this story so that they would always pray and not give up. Not give up. And that's the key, that we don't give up. And yet sometimes when we're not getting our answer quickly enough, it's hard to believe that God will. Look at Matthew 8, 1 through 3, if you will. It says, when Jesus had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy was cleansed. So, God, will you? I will. I will. It wasn't even a question. Matthew 12, 15. I can't think of a time when he turned anyone away. It said, a large crowd followed Jesus and he healed all who were ill. Not just the ones who were the best, all. Not just the ones who were the richest, all. Not just the ones who are the smartest, all. And I asked Chad to sing that song again today, When You Walk Into the Room. We've been singing it lately about how when Jesus was present, the sickness had to go. When Jesus was present, all of a sudden the hopeless situations began to become hopeful situations. And I think it's time for us to start believing that and start believing that God will. To not give up on God so easily. There are a lot of things in our lives that we're willing to fight for. You know, we'll go to college and do the internship and work the bad hours and take the menial jobs if it means that we're going to get to that dream job. We will fight for so many things for our career. We will make sacrifices to get where we want to be. We'll fight for the dream house. We'll scrimp and we'll save to get it. And if it's not exactly how we like it, we'll work a long day and then we'll come home and we'll work at night to make it better. We fight for those things because we want them. We tell our children to work hard and to fight for those good grades and to give it their best and to try hard and to go for those scholarships. And when it comes to sports, you give it your all. You give it 110%. But the second that we have to fight for something from heaven, we just say, oh, maybe God forgot me. And I prayed it didn't happen. And we think that something's wrong. I don't know why it's so easy for us to dedicate our time and our attention to earthly pursuits, but then assume that we would never have to work for a heavenly pursuit. But sometimes it's a process. And Jesus said there are some things that just require prayer. Sometimes it doesn't happen overnight, so don't give up. Don't give up. If you've been praying for somebody for 10 years, don't give up. Keep on praying for them. If you've been sick and you're not getting well, don't give up. Keep on praying for that. If there's a situation in your life that you're still believing for, then don't give up. Don't give up. Be willing to fight for it. And remember that sometimes it doesn't come in the way that we're expecting. And then on the other hand, sometimes we don't get the answer that we thought that we would. 2 Corinthians 12:7-9, Paul talks about something that he was suffering with. And we don't know exactly what it was. We have some guesses. But the point is, it was a situation that he found painful. And it was a situation that he did not want to have to keep dealing with. And he asked God to intervene. And he says, therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. He asked God several times, and God said no in this situation. Sometimes we don't always understand the no's, but Paul concluded that in this situation, it was to keep him from being conceited. And when I read about Paul, I could kind of see how that was maybe his struggle. Paul was a great man. He wrote a bunch of the Bible. He evangelized a ton of the world. He saw great things of God happen, and yet he didn't get the answer he wanted in this situation. And he said, it's all right because it's teaching me to rely on God. But you know what? That didn't stop him from still expecting more miracles in his life. He didn't just say, well, God didn't answer me, so I guess I'm kind of done with the prayer thing. I didn't get the answer that I wanted, so I give up. He kept on believing, and God kept on using him. Just because he didn't get the answer that he wanted one time didn't mean that he wouldn't get the answer that he needed other times. So Paul continued to pray. He didn't give up on God. And we shouldn't be so quick to write God off either. But sometimes we are a lot quicker to write him off than other people in our lives. We forget that he's not just a magic genie that, you know, will give us whatever we wish, and we're mad when that doesn't happen. He is God, and he's there to answer our prayers. He's there to answer our needs. He is powerful enough to conquer sickness, to conquer death, to conquer sin, addiction, hate, fear, whatever it is that we're dealing with. And one example that he gives us over and over in the Bible is that when Jesus walked in, those things had to go. When Jesus walked in, he won every time. And that same spirit lives inside of us. That same spirit is here today. So the answer to me is just to go ahead and expect for great things. The answer to me is just to go ahead and expect that God would intervene in my situation. That I can come to church actually thinking and expecting that God might provide the answer that I'm needing. That if I'm praying because my body is hurting, that I would expect and fully believe that he would touch me. To go ahead and start believing that those prayers are going to happen. David wrote in the Psalms, I prayed and I waited expectantly. For him, the one just went hand in hand with the other. I'm praying and God, I can't wait to see how that's going to work out. But we can learn a lot about ourselves by where we turn in a moment of crisis. That can show us our true belief. Think about it for just a second. When something happens and it's not what you were expecting and you're a little bit freaked out, what's your first response? For some of us, you know, it is to go straight to God. For some of us, we call friends and we start to get advice. Others of us are kind of self-sufficient, and so we're like, okay, I can handle this. How can I fix this? And honestly, I've done all three. I would like to say, you know, that I'm perfect at that, but I'm not. I've done all three. But I can tell you without a doubt, the situations that always turn out the best are the ones where I've stopped and said, before anything else, before any other response, God, I need your help with this. God, I need you to make a way with this. And it doesn't even have to be, you know, I'm on my deathbed. God cares about every aspect of our lives. I remember a long time ago, our fridge went out and we had to get it fixed and the bill was like $200. And when you're young and you're starting out, $200 when you weren't expecting it can be a lot. Could we have handled it? I'm sure we would have gotten by. But I remember my first response on that situation was just to say, God, this isn't really what we expected. Not sure how all this is going to work out. I need you to help us in this situation. And like a week later, we get a check in the mail from someone from a past church. And it was for $200 with a little note. Just felt like I was supposed to send you this. And we're just like, whoa. Like, why are we still, you know, why were we surprised? We prayed about it. But God cared enough to do that for us. But a lot of times we think, oh, he's too busy to bother him with that. So we don't even ask. He's too busy to deal with that. And I prayed about other things, and very rarely is it tied up with a neat, pretty little bow, just like I needed $200 and I got a check for $200. The answers don't always come that way, but the answers come. And sometimes, you know, we wait until we're just in crisis before we start to pray. But there are other things to pray about, like maybe you need your job to advance. Maybe you have a dream and you want to get there, then start praying about that job. Sometimes pastors, I've seen them believe for, you know, more resources and bigger buildings so that they can minister better. It doesn't have to be that life is wrong and things are awful before you start to pray and believe that God would do miracles. I believe that the bigger our prayers are, the more they honor God. And we can pray small prayers, but if we truly believe that God is for us and God wants to give good gifts to his children and that he supplies our needs and that he supplies for the ones that he has called, then we begin to pray bigger, bolder prayers. Our prayers will shape the scripts of our lives, so we have to decide if we will take chances. Some of us, you know, we pray, God, protect me. And don't let this happen, and don't let that happen, and don't let this happen, and keep me safe. And those are fine prayers, but then there's this whole other level of prayer where we can go out and believe for the great things of God. Believe for the dreams that he's put in our hearts. And the great thing about our God is that there's nothing too big for him. But the great thing about my God is that there's nothing too small for him either. God will. God cares. I read a story about a woman who was doing mission work. And one day as she was getting ready to go out, she just had the thought in her head. She felt like God was prompting her to put her woolly socks in her purse. She's like, that's weird. I'm getting weird. So she goes on. And then she just felt that prompting again. You need your woolly socks. So she sticks them in her purse, whatever. And she sets out to do the mission work that day. And as she's ministering, she sees a prostitute laying in the street, and she's freezing, and she's shivering, and she's cold, and she's not quite with it. And she goes over and begins to warm her up and kind of hug her and love on her. And she said, Miss, if there was just one thing that I could do for you today, what would you want me to do for you? And what do you think she said? I would love a pair of woolly socks. And so she got them out, so humbled that, you know, she had listened to God and that he cared about this woman enough to provide the woolly socks. And then the lady said, oh, and they even match my outfit. And you know what? God says he cares about a sparrow. He cares about the flowers of the field. He cares enough to provide woolly socks for someone. And ladies, I think he even cares if our outfits match. I'm just kidding. But he cares about the big things. He cares about the little things. He will answer simple requests, but we have to ask. And we don't want to miss miracles. We don't want to miss answers because we aren't looking, because we aren't listening, because we're not really believing for those answers. Prayer is about the asking, but it's also about the looking and the listening. And when we get that answer, it's not so we can just prop our feet up and say, peace out, God, I got what I need, I'm good, catch you on the flip side. It's so we can believe for more and start to rely on Him more, not only on behalf of ourselves, but on those around us. So let's not miss out on the things that God has for us because, you know, when we have 20 free minutes, we're scrolling Facebook instead of maybe just entering the presence of God for a few minutes to request things on our behalf and the behalf of others. That we would stop making excuses maybe and just start believing, yes, God will. I think for some of us, it's time to claim that potential that He sees in us, those gifts that He wants to give us, because there is so much more available than we typically are reaching out to get. The Bible says that we can approach God with confidence, that we can ask believing that He is able and that He will. And I was talking to the Junction K5 kids about this the other day, and I said, you know, it would kind of be like if Mom and Dad took you to Disney World, and once you got inside, they said, here is a free pass, and you can get on any ride that you want all day, and you can be first in line, and you can get any souvenir that you want all day long with this pass. And you're just like, I don't need it. You brought me to Disney World. That's enough. Thank you. I said, how many of you would take the free pass? And they're like, I'd take the free pass, you know. I said, well, sometimes, boys and girls, it's like that with us and God. Because we think, well, I said the prayer, I made it to heaven. I'm good. And God's sitting there going, but there's so much more that you could have in this life if you would only believe. There's so much more that I can do for you right now. I have good gifts I want to give you now. You just need to reach out and accept them. And this morning, I just felt like I was supposed to challenge you not to settle and not to believe the lie that God wouldn't. To start to let faith grow inside of you. I hope that has been through this whole series that God is here. And if we would just reach out, that we might see a miracle. Jesus said that the faith of the people mattered when it came to the miracles. And sometimes I think that we make faith like this big mystical, I don't know if I have it. I don't know if I have enough. You know, do you have any faith dust that you could spray on me? What is it? It's not hard. It's just believing. It's just believing that God can. Just believe that He will. Just like this guy I was reading about, Naaman, he was just like, you know what? That God can heal me? Okay, let's go there. I mean, very simple. Let's just do that. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by believing. And when God answers my prayers, I write them down. I write them down and I go back and I read that. And the more I look at what He's done in my life and the more I stop and remember what He's done, the more faith grows in my heart. Let's use our answered prayers to allow us to believe for more. One of my favorite verses, and I'll close with this, is Acts 17:27. And it's talking about all the things that God has done, and it says, God did this so that men would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. And I just love that picture of God waiting. He's just waiting. He is not far from each one of us, but it's up to us to seek Him and to reach out for the things that He has to give us. Will you guys pray with me this morning? Father God, we just we thank You for the opportunity to come here together and to learn Your word. And God, I just pray that You would let faith rise in our hearts this morning. For those of us who may have considered giving up because we hadn't gotten the answer in the timing or the way that we wanted, I pray that You would encourage us to keep trying, to keep praying and not give up. And God, for any here who have believed that maybe You wouldn't, that maybe they weren't deserving of answered prayers, God, that You would just send the truth into our hearts, Lord God, that You will, that You are able and that You are willing to answer our needs. And we thank You, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. If you have a need this morning, I will be down here, and Pastor would be happy to pray with you after service. Do you have anything to add?
Somebody came in with, like, just seems like something big. And this word was for you, so that you would ask, so that you would believe that God will. So if we can be in agreement with you, we can, but maybe you just already received, and that's really great too. If you've never given your heart, you've ever given your life to Jesus, then call on the name of the Lord. Be saved right now. Let's all stand up. If you do need prayer, then why don't you come forward right now? And everybody else, you can be dismissed today. If you want to call in the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved, why don't you come? Let us pray with you also. Hey, Wednesday night we'll be here talking about God of Miracles. The week following is when all the women's Bible study groups all get together. And I'm going to lead a group of men, so we'd invite you out for that. Next Sunday, prepare your hearts. We're going to receive communion together. And we're going to receive communion from the context of God of Miracles. Hey, we love you. Have a great week. Enjoy your holiday. We'll see you next time. Come if